A fairly substantial reset is probably going to be in order here, because we're getting back to something that we've drifted from a little bit, buddy. It is Bob the Beatles. And we're joined now by the central focus, the crux, if you will, of this segment, the Bob Stern Show.
Hey, guys. Ladies,
how are you?
I'm doing very well.
How's the show meeting going?
The show meeting was very positive.
That's kind of a change, isn't it?
We're pleased this time, so everyone's happy.
That's good. That's very good. Very good. Glad to see you boys are making some progress.
Yeah, this is good times.
All right. The central question of this segment, for those who may be new to it, is this dilemma which we have all wondered about for, these many, many years. What would happen if the Beatles were to come onto the scene today? How would they be accepted? How would radio treat them? How far would they get? Because, you know, there are so many good acts that we've seen come in over the years. They come out, they make one really strong CD, they go away for a couple, 3 years, and when they come back, they are deemed passé. And even if their next CD is on par with their first, nobody's interested anymore. It was not that way when the Beatles were around. When the Beatles came out, they put out a CD every 6 months. I mean, they stayed top of mind, and maybe that's part of their success. But we wonder how the youth of today, or the Gen Xer of today, or whatever the heading he may fall under, would view the Beatles.
The Bald Baptist of today.
Right. The Bald Baptist of today. So we drafted the Bob Stern Show, who is probably, I don't know, your average spare music aficionado. I mean, you're fairly in tune with today's tides and trends, aren't you?
Fairly, I would suggest.
However, by the same token, it's probably also fair to suggest that you've never made any great effort to go back through the archives and look at some of the stuff your dad or mom might be interested in and try to find out what was so great about that.
If I desired, I could probably go grab a stack of 45s from their basement, but
Really had that inclination, have
you? Never really occurred to me.
So what we've got the Bob Stern Show to do is go through the Beatles catalog in the order in which it was foisted upon us back in the day, or as close to it as we can, given the recataloging and whatnot that's gone on over the years. Just go through there, one CD at a time, listen to it several times over, digest it, and then come back here and give us a review of his thoughts on this CD. Now, so far, for the most part, your response to the Beatles has been pretty favorable.
Yeah.
Probably safe to say that you kind of get what's so great about this.
Yeah, I think they're going to make it. Yeah.
Save for some of the early days when they were doing a lot of cover tunes and whatnot. I don't think you saw the allure of those too much, did you?
Did not care for the cover tune, really.
Well, the cover tune is a thing of the past, because now we are about to enter that era where things really began to take an acid-drenched left turn. The Revolver album is what we're looking at today.
Yes, and I would say, along with Rubber Soul, these have both been some great CDs, as you guys promised. And we might as well start with track one, which is very solid, aside from the fact that appears on Norm's show periodically, and therefore, much like Ooh That Smell, could beat you down merely by connection, but a little Tax Man to get you rolling. The only question I have about this is, was there really a time where there was 19 for you and one for me? Or, in the anthology, Harrison claims that there really was a time where, after a given level of income, the government took 95%. Is that possible?
That's one of the reasons John Lennon moved to New York. The tax laws in England versus the U.S.
A 95% tax rate?
I don't think there was that, but it was a lot more substantial than the U.S.
Yeah, it's the only song on this whole record that If I hear it on the radio, I'm out.
Yeah, radio has ruined this one for me, too.
Yeah.
I used to love this song, but...
The rest of this record, though, is pretty radio clean, you know?
Yeah, but if I hear this, not terribly interesting.
Well, track two is, along with Penny Lane, my two favorite Beatles songs that I've ever stumbled upon, and they're both they're both number ones.
I love this song.
I love Eleanor Rigby. It's the
cello there.
Oh, yeah. This is
Eleanor Rigby.
Yeah, did he play this in concert?
Yeah.
Yeah, he sure did.
Did he open with it?
No, he opened with Hello, Goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah, rub it in. I missed it. I wasn't really into the Beatles 2 years ago.
This is a great song.
That may never
happen. Yeah, but like Taxman, I hear this, I'm gone.
You're out on Eleanor Rigby?
Yeah, see, I can take this. I haven't heard this near as much as Taxman.
See, when this first came out, KLIF was rolling this a couple of times an hour.
Wow.
Wasn't this one of the first songs?
Well, it only takes 2 minutes.
Yeah.
George Martin here. Heavily influenced runs by bringing in his classical instruments.
I'm a sucker for those types.
This for a rock and roll song, this is pretty tricked up.
The cello?
This for the whole...
Well,
screen.
No, there appears to be no traditional rock and roll instrument on this thing.
If you think this is tricked up, then, and by the way, if you're going to listen to Revolver, I suggest the first 4 or 5 tracks are so great that you might not get to the rest of them, I think. And track 3 is I'm Only Sleeping.
This is where it pretty much begins and ends with me.
I love this song. In fact, you'll sing it the rest of the day. Now, did you know the guitar bit on this?
It's some sort of sitar-influenced thing, maybe played backwards or such.
This is backwards.
Yeah.
They recorded it and then played it backwards.
Yeah.
That's how they arrived at this sound.
I would hazard a guess that that's probably one of the first times that trick was used by anybody.
It's probably acid playing a role.
Probably.
Let's try it backwards.
You know, this literally is when Lennon just stayed in bed all day long.
He had a Brian Wilson time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is what it's all about.
Well, this is greatness. Keep going, track 4. Now, this is the greatness of the sitar.
I got to say, I'm surprised that this grabs you.
Well, it doesn't for the first 30 seconds or so, but once we actually get into the song, I dig it. Now, the sitar here is crazy.
God,
the sitar is a crazy instrument.
Is Ravi Shankar there?
No, this is Harrison. He learned how to play it. Harrison learned how to play the sitar.
He wasn't in anything.
But he didn't play it on this.
No, he didn't. Really?
We learned how to play it. I know that.
This is some of his Indian buddies. It's like an ensemble of Indian musicians.
Or are they credited?
They should be.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Am I wrong about him learning how to play that?
No, he did.
He played it on Norwegian wood, didn't he?
I believe so, yeah. But, I mean, this is technically...
At this point, I'm into the song.
Yeah, nobody's credited.
I'll get 100 phone calls.
All right.
Now, there are tabla credits on this.
All right, let me make my controversial statement for this album. Number 6, of course, is Yellow Submarine, and it beats me to death. I'm sorry.
We don't have to hear Yellow Submarine.
I just can't do it, man. Yeah. I mean, go ahead. For a couple people that might not be familiar with it, if you're an alien, but
this is when they just need another song. They just sit around so high, they wrote this. They said, let's just put that son of a bitch on there. See how it goes.
I'm not sure I get it, man.
You don't have to.
In those exact words, too, Greg.
Pretty much. Yeah. So watch all the idiots buy this. And I think that became a number one hit.
Son of a bitch on the album, Paul. This absolutely went to number one.
Well, this was the flip side of Eleanor Rigby, wasn't it?
I don't know.
I think it was.
What's a record? All right, she said, very cool guitar. Let's hear a little of that. That's the next one.
There,
Justin.
Too.
And it says right here, this was written after an acid trip in L.A. during a break of the Beatles tour in 65. Oh, dear.
What a life, man. Boy, you don't think in college, too, that there's so many kids who are subjected to the same thing that they were subjected to here, drug-wise, that know about this album, that pop it on and just sit there for hours and listen to it. Not that I know from experience, but that's what I hear.
All right, next track is Good Day Sunshine, which we've all heard over and over again, and...
And I believe, like, the Beatles got a hold of this, didn't
they? Yeah,
like the Beatles decimated this record.
Yes, it's one of those songs that the Hardline introduced me to several years ago by adapting a Grego drop. And so when I hear the real version, I
hey, we got a hold of I'm Only Sleeping, too.
Yep. I'm Only Eating, is that what it was?
No, I like to eat,
that's right.
Let's see, what number is Dr. Robert?
Dr. Robert 11. Number 11.
All right, I wanted to focus on that for a moment, because if I understand the song correctly, this is basically code for Uncle Gary, right? I mean,
that's drug
right, yeah, I mean, it's just...
Code for Uncle Gary.
Yeah.
Uncle Gary.
But they're not hiding anything here, because...
He'll be this, I called Uncle Gary.
I mean, their drug dealer, they called him Dr. Ron.
Right.
I mean, there's no hidden message here or anything.
No, it's quite out in the open, is it not?
Also is Uncle Gary, isn't he?
Yeah, Uncle Gary is fairly out in the open as well. No, I mean, and you got a couple other great songs on here. I don't know what we got for time, but...
13. Well, we got 13. As long as you want.
13, all right. Yeah, I got to get you into my life once again.
Is this your favorite album so far, Bob?
Yeah, you know, Rubber Soul is very close, and I really enjoyed Help. But, yeah, this is gold. Thank you for bringing this one up. This has, like, there's a Volkswagen commercial out there right now that has a song that kind of sounds like this.
You're thinking of Mr. Blue Sky by ELO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that was a real song, but it just, I kind of see a Volkswagen.
You never heard of Mr. Blue Sky?
Maybe we'll do Bob and the ELO at some point.
And the last song on the record, Tomorrow Never Knows, is about the most drug-fueled song I've ever heard in my life.
All right, that's the last one there, Justin.
What track?
14.
14.
Now, this is
probably George playing the sitar.
It's kind of an annoying instrument, really.
Turn this up. Now, what do you think he's meaning by that?
It's a perfect final track, though.
This is such a cool drum beat, too.
I feel like I'm getting into this because when I started this project, all I knew were the number ones, and now I'm finding that many of the number ones beat me, and I'm wandering into...
You're wandering into some of the deeper cut territory.
Yeah, I'm wandering into the number threes and the number fives and enjoying that. So,
and I have a question.
What?
Because you didn't mention a song on here that's a particular favorite of mine.
All right.
And that would be number 9. So punch up number 9 there, Justin.
Is that And Your Bird Can Sing?
That would be And Your Bird Can Sing.
Yeah. I found it very solid. No, to me it was... I might rethink this after a while, but I would say it initially, that's kind of middle of the road in this album for me. But it's very good. There's really only one major beating on this CD, and usually I find two or three songs that beat me, and really only Yellow Submarine beats me on this one. Otherwise, this is a good listen. Especially was like 2 months ago when I first started listening to it.
Yeah.
So I'm... curious what my next quarterly Beatles album will be.
Well, so what's next?
Hopefully we can get this done quicker. I guess Sergeant Pepper's next, isn't it?
Sergeant Pepper's, then Magical Mystery Tour.
Yeah,
right?
I'm up to Sergeant Pepper's.
So all right.
I'm ready to roll.
Good luck with that one.
So, yeah, what people call the greatest album of all time.
What are we looking at?
A lot of people call this the greatest album of all time.
Super Bowl week?
Yeah. We'll call you in March.
Super Bowl week.
All right, see you guys in Houston.
We can do it tomorrow. We're both in studio.
Well, I can't quite turn around that fast.
He needs time to absorb this stuff.
Yes. Got to find the deep cuts.
Right.
Deep dish.
All right, very good. There is Bob and the Beatles for today. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, guys.
There goes the Sterminator. It is 3:48. This is Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.